over here in the second chapter in the fifth verse. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace ye are saved. Now, how are you saved? According to what Paul has said here in this particular chapter and that particular verse, the answer to the question is the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are ye saved through grace. Now, just for a few minutes here this evening, I want to talk about where is salvation to be found. Now, that's a controversial subject among the majority of the peoples of the world. Where is salvation to be found? Now, salvation is not to be found in the church. And this is the reason why. The church in itself, as we know the church consists or is made up of sinful men and sinful women. All here tonight, though I view every one of you as a fine person, love you more than anything I know of, but yet we are sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The church consists or is made up of sinful men. Sinful men and women that are out, called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's where salvation is found, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church in itself cannot grant repentance or remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins, although there is certain institutions and bodies of men and women all over the world that believes that the church in itself can give remission of sins. They believe that upon their confession of a Sunday morning or another particular time, they come before the man who's the priest or whoever, and they say a few words and sprinkle a little water on and say, go your way. But the church has no authority whatsoever to forgive anybody. Salvation is not found in the church. The church certainly has not that authority. The church cannot grant remission of sins or give anyone that righteousness which God demands. God demands a righteousness absolutely 100% pure. a righteousness without spot or without wrinkle. That's the demand of God. Now, the church cannot come up with that or produce that. Only God Himself. The church cannot grant remission of sins or give anyone that righteousness which God demands. Now, salvation is not to be earned. It's not to be earned by good works. And that's one of the biggest problems in religion that I know of, is that they promote good works to the extent that God will recognize what they've done, and on the basis of what they've done, He'll grant unto them eternal life. But as I read to you where it says, not of works, lest any man boast. You couldn't work enough to gain any confidence in God Almighty if you worked 24 hours a day, if you prayed 24 hours a day without let up, if you prayed a month without let up, or a year without, wouldn't move God at all. Salvation is not in the church. That is, when I say it's not in the church, I mean it's not dispensed from the pulpit through men or women or boys and girls. It's got to come from God Himself. It's not to be earned by good works, for the Bible through and through says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Good works. No, not one. Not your son or daughter or aunt or uncle or your blessed mother and blessed father. There is not one of the world's population since the days of Adam. Adam, the first man, fell and sinned against God, and every one of Adam's offsprings are born in sin and far off from God. They're so far off that they cannot find their way back. As a matter of fact, they're not even looking for a way back. So salvation is not earned by good works. It says here in the Bible, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none that doeth good. Where then can salvation be found? If it's not found in the church, if it's not found by good works, where can it be found? Well, I know where it can be found. It can be found in a person. And that's the only place you'll ever find it. You might travel from here to China. You might be the smartest man on the universe. But none of your smartness and your education and your devious ways will you find salvation by works. No, not one. There's no one exempt from being a fallen sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, God Almighty resolved in His eternal purpose. Marvin speaks a lot about the eternal purpose of God. God has a purpose. God does not do anything without reason without rhyme or reason. God has a purpose for all things. God has resolved in His eternal purpose to save a vast multitude of Adam's fallen race. That's the purpose of God, that He's purposed to save a multitude of people, boys and girls and men and women. He has purpose to save. He does it on purpose. He purposed to save them, and He's going to save every one of them. Now, salvation is not one of the many ways, so-called, of salvation. Salvation is in one place. Salvation's in a person. I talked to a fella here the other day a little bit, and he got real religious with me, so I asked him, I said, "Well, what hope do you have, brother?" "Oh," he said, "do you know so-and-so?" And I said, "Well, I've heard of him." He said, "Well, he's a preacher. I was out to his church here recently." I said, "Well, what do you have to say?" Well, he said, I don't remember now what he had to say. But he went on and was telling me about what a nice fellow he was, speaking of himself and all of that. And I said, "Well, what part does Jesus Christ play in your theology? What does He mean to you?" "Well," he said, "I don't know." He said, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, and so forth." And I said, "You sound to me like you don't know who Jesus Christ is." I said, "Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God and man in one person. He rules and reigns." I said, "There's none like Him. He's God Almighty." And I said, "You got to do business with Him. You don't do business with the preacher or with the church or with your wife or with your mother or your cousins. You got to do business with Him who sits on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, He's not one of many. He's not one of the many foundations whom which men try to build upon. The Lord Jesus, He is the way. He's the way to God. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to live forever. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the way. And He's the rock of salvation. Apart from the Lord Jesus, there is no hope. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what you think, what you don't think. If you don't know who He is and what He has done, you got to know who He is. He's God, manifest in the flesh. That's who He is. He's God Almighty, over all and above all. He's God and man in one person. Got to know Him. This other business is, it's just all a lot of hot air. All who are saved in Christ. Now, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it right there. All that has been saved, is being saved, and will be saved, are saved in Christ. Not Christ and plus my love for my mother or any other work. All who are saved in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, and Christ the Savior, and through Christ the Savior alone. In order that he might have all the glory. You cannot share God's glory. God's glory is what you can't do, but what he can do. That's the glory of God, and he's the only one that has it. He's the only one that has it. Glory, glory, glory. All right? A lot of professors do not like to be told that they're dead in trespasses and in sins. Most people don't like that. I don't know if I liked it when I first heard it. I think when I first heard it, I thought, well, I think there's just a little good in me. But I've come to the conclusion from the written word here, written by the finger of God, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all deserve to go to hell. That's where every one of us here tonight, big, little, or small, we deserve. We deserve the pits of hell, and apart from the grace of God putting us in Christ, that's where we'd wind up. Well, professors of religion don't like to be told that they are dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, I was telling you about this fella that I was talking to, and I said, well, Christ is salvation. And I said, do you know who Christ is? And he kind of sat back. Everybody knows who Jesus is and all that. I said, well, if he's not, if you don't know him, then you don't know what he done. I said, well, what are you talking about? You're going to church and this and that and so forth and talking about religion, and you don't know what he done. I said, the greatest, most glorious person that ever walked the face of the earth, of the millions and trillions of people that lived and died, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, stands head and shoulders above all. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's all in all. And I'll tell you, before a man's ever saved, he's going to have to do business with this man, Christ Jesus. Salvation is not by chance. Salvation is according to his purpose. God has a purpose. And salvation, when God says it's ready, when it's God's time. You know, there's time. I was watching the television there the other day, and over in one of the Muslim countries, and they had they wasn't at war or anything like that, but someone had done something, and so they all got mad, and there's a bunch of kids, boys and girls, anywhere from 10 to 18 years old. They all picked up rocks, and they threw them rocks at the crowd. There were just always thousands and thousands of people there, and hundreds of boys and girls picking rocks, throwing them up there, hard as they could. And I said to myself, I said, well, there's a time to throw rocks. The Bible said there's time to pick up stones, and there's time to lay them down. And there's a time to be born, and there's a time to be die. There's a time. Listen, salvation's not by chance. Salvation's by purpose. Saving grace. How sweet the sound. Where shall praise enough be found? Praise to tell what God has done, and praise to honor Christ the Son. Members of a royal race, chosen by His sovereign grace, what a wonderful, gracious plan that God would raise up a fallen man. He alone is our plea. He alone is all we need. All our hopes on Him rely. By Him we are justified, and we shall soon be glorified. Over here in John chapter 17, let me read a few verses and I'll quit. Chapter 17, the book of John, verse 2. Listen to this now. See if it sounds like you can merit salvation. It says, as thou hast given Him, God has given the Lord Jesus, that's what it means, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh, everything that moves, wiggles, and turns in this world, our Lord Jesus Christ has power over. He has the power over all flesh. He has power over the storms. He has the power of the sun and the moon and the stars. Power over it all. Do away with it with the flick of His finger. As thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give. Oh, work? No, 1,000 times no. It's a gift. It's a salvation is a gift of God. You can't barter with God and work out problems to your advantage to get to God. Listen now. It says, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life. To who? To as many as thou hast given Him. Isn't that what it says? And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I've glorified Thee on the earth. I've finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. You look there at verse 12. It says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. I kept them. You're kept by the power of God. You ain't going to die till God says so. You ain't going to move a muscle until God says so. We're kept by the power of God, who rules and reigns and sits on the throne and does what pleases Him. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, He chose. He chose a people before people ever was. Before the foundation of the world, He chose a people. The people that He chose found favor in God's eyes. And He chose this one and this one and this one and this one. Chose them before the foundation of the world and called them here in time. Everyone that God has chosen unto Himself and given into Christ shall be called here in time. He said, I've kept them. And none of them is lost. Not one of them will ever be lost. They're safe as God can make them safe, Bob. Can't get any safer than that to be in the Rock of Ages. I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. That's the devil himself. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. Well, what does God have that nobody else has? What is it then that makes up God's glory? His glory is that which sets Him apart from everybody else. And His glory is His sovereignty. He's on the throne. He always was. He always will be. He had no beginning, and He'll have no end. And He has set up a time, for a judgment time, when He'll gather men before Him. And those who do not know His Son, those that are not wrapped up in His Son, those that do not love His Son, those that do not are not faithful to His Son, those He's going to call up before Him in judgment and take your place in the lake of fire. I tell you here this evening to know Him. You better know Him. You don't know Him, you don't know nobody. If you don't know nobody, it'd be better to know somebody. And that somebody's Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what He said. Come to me, not to the church. Don't bring your good works. You haven't got any. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know what He'll do? He said, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. I believe He gave me that. I believe He gave me rest for my soul. And I thank God for it. And I hope every one of you know who He is. And as Marvin says, he prayed that God would give you a heart to love the Lord Jesus. And I hope He has. Well, that's about all I can do.